Welcome, everyone, to another episode of What's Working. I'm Cam Marston, and we have special news to begin today's episode. We have a presenting sponsor who showed up in fine fashion last week. What's Working is now presented by Regions. And in a little while, I'll have a couple of representatives from Regions on the line to talk about the PPP Act that is so important to small businesses like myself. But I want to take a moment just really to emphasize the significance of what Regions did for me. If you question whether Regions is a supporter of small business, I made a proposal to them last week, and within 90 minutes, they came back with it approved. And in my experience in something like this, that's record time. And I am here as a result, not exclusively of Regions, but I am here with my hat off to them for their support of this program due to the content that we try to find and bring to you, the small business owner. Our businesses, or our show is usually focused on workplace and workforce trends. But in the past, I think we're in the third week now, we are now focusing on issues for small business owners to take a hold of that will get them through this time of what I'm calling the COVID economy. And I want to give you information on decisions you can make that will keep your business alive until things, quote unquote, return to normal, whenever that will be. So our focus today, let me tell you what you can expect from this show today. We're going to have two representatives from Regions who are able to talk about the PPP Act. I even got information just prior to the show beginning that they don't think the funding is going to be enough and that they are requesting perhaps more, as if $349 billion isn't going to be enough. They're going to request more. So we're going to talk about different components of the PPP Act, where it fits within the CARES Act. We're going to come back from break at the bottom of the hour, and I'm going to have somebody on the line who has 600 small business customers. His name is Joe Collins. Joe has 600 small business customers who are peppering him daily with unique and rare questions. Joe has become an expert at what's going on in this whole mess, and he's going to present these areas of discussion within the PPP Act to my friends at Regions Bank, Christian White and Megan Owens, who will be on the line after the break. At the end of the show, just like always, we're making this a permanent part of the show. If you've got to leave, I want you to come back about 1:51, 1:52 p.m. Because at that time, I'm going to sum up the top points made during the show, the things that I think you need to know. And I'm also going to make this summary available at the number 44222. Text What's Working to 44222. And you'll be able to get that summary as well as a number of other things that we're including in there. Finally, towards the very end of the show, later in the hour, I'm going to have Dr. Mark Foley on the line. He's going to begin and end our inspirational segment. Mark Foley sends out a wonderful daily devotional that I have become very addicted to. Addicted may be a strong word, a very fond of. And he's going to give us some things to think about as we go on into the week. And again, so the recap at 1:52. And I want to mention a friend of mine. Goodness knows there are a lot of folks struggling out there, and I want to highlight one who's really been struggling and a great friend. If you're a frequent traveler in and out of the Mobile Airport, you certainly know the unofficial ambassador for the city of Mobile, which is Nelson Easterling. Nelson runs Star Shoeshine, and as you can imagine, his business has been decimated by this. Well, I do know that Nelson is shining shoes. I took him about 9 pair the other day, including my children's school shoes, and we arranged a place to get them. And if you want to get in touch with Nelson, if you feel like giving somebody some help, if you want to get your own shoes shine and put them on the shelf until you need them again, if you text What's Working to 44222, you're going to get Nelson's contact information so that you can reach out to him and get your shoes all shined up. We will be taking your calls during this PPP section. That number is 343-0106, calls and texts. And I want to remind you that What's Working is available to you on social media. Find us at Facebook at What's Working with Cam Marston, as well as on Instagram. When we come back, we'll have Christian White and Megan Owens with Regions Bank. You're listening to What's Working. I'm Cam Marston. You're listening to What's Working. I'm Cam Marston. What's Working is proudly brought to you by Regions. And on the line with me right now, Christian White and Megan Owens, locally of Regions. Christian, Megan, thank you so much for your time. Welcome to What's Working, and thank you so much for your support of the show.
Thank you, Cam. We're happy to be here.
Thanks, Cam.
So let's begin with the PPP program. Goodness knows it's on the tip of everyone's tongue. I filled out my application yesterday. There were a couple of hiccups, and I needed some clarifications, et cetera. Tell me first, let's begin macro to micro. We'll go from way up to very specific things. What is it? I assume everybody listening likely has a very good sense of it, but give me a sense of what it is and what you're seeing from the small businesses in the area in terms of their own applications.
All right, so the Paycheck Protection Program essentially gives small businesses the opportunity to get a fully forgivable loan to pay their employees and maintain their business's physical location for the next 8 weeks, as long as they follow the program guidelines for keeping their workforce and salaries intact. That may be an oversimplification, but it's easy to get really in the weeds with kind of the program guidelines. We can go into more detail with that if you'd like. The most important thing I wanted listeners to know is that we are still getting new information on this program almost every day from the SBA. This has all just moved at warp speed in terms of government programs, and it needed to move that fast, but as a result, we basically got a framework to start with. And even as we were taking applications, we were having to make some guesses as to the rules. And now SBA is filling in bit by bit where we were telling them there are gaps in the information and we need clarification. So, for example, just yesterday we received an additional 6 pages of guidance from the SBA. Some answers to some questions today are maybe a little bit different or more solidified from, say, last Friday when the program opened up. And there's still a lot of questions for which we're waiting guidance.
We'll get into some of those questions that remain unanswered, I think, in the next segment. But let's begin by what are the most common questions you're getting from small business owners? What is the thing that if you had to answer the phone from the next small business owner call, you can almost guess what they're going to ask?
You know, a lot of my business owners are still asking about how to calculate the loan amount, what's included. And that's partly because those were some of the questions that remained unanswered until recently. So, you know, as of yesterday, the SBA officially declared what the periods upon which borrowers could calculate that average monthly payroll are. They have some options: the last 12 months, the calendar year 2019, then also seasonal and new businesses have alternate date ranges that they can use. And then what's included in that figure? Can I include my 1099 employees? Well, that guidance was made official yesterday as well. They cannot include 1099 employees in that payroll calculation, but the 1099 employees are eligible to apply themselves starting on Friday.
So
and then on the alternate, the flip side of that, of course, they want to know how to make sure the entire loan amount is forgiven. The rule now is 75% must go towards payroll costs over the next 8 weeks. And then 25% can be used towards rent expense, mortgage interest, or utilities. Then the Act states that you must reduce that amount if you've laid off employees or reduced your salary. So that's an important conversation to have on an individual basis to see how we rectify that so that the loan can be forgiven.
So the bones of this payroll protection program is for small businesses to keep people on the payroll. That's the incentive. The bottom line incentive of it is it's cheaper or better or whatever it may be to keep employees on the payroll versus sending them to unemployment. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think that's probably the primary goal. Another one being just to enable the economy to bounce back more quickly with the kind of continuity that this allows, versus employers having to lay off and then find new employees after the situation has passed. I think it serves both those purposes.
Is the pool of money, I just saw an email that was forwarded to me by you, Christian, is the pool of money going to be enough? And I'm also curious of, is it first come, first serve? So if I get my, I mean, if I were to get my application in next week, do I miss the window or does it have to be this week? I mean, the $349 billion, that's so much. But
yeah.
Is it? Tell me how that's working.
Cam, that's the number one concern that we hear out in the market. First of all, it is a first-come, first-serve program. And so, you know, for the companies and businesses that applied on Friday, that puts them in a good position to go through the process and potentially receive the funds. But like you said, $350 billion is the limit. It was what was approved on March the 27th as part of the bigger CARES Act. And, you know, we have seen, just at Regions, we have seen a tremendous amount of interest in this program, all for the right reasons. But based on the amount of interest that we have seen, you know, it is likely that there is a limit on the $350 billion, but there is a good likelihood that this money will run out at some point.
Well, what about the time? It's for 8 weeks. We're using this for the next 8 weeks. What happens if we need it beyond that? Do you have any hypothesis of whether there's a provision going through Congress right now to say, no, we need it for 12 weeks. We need it for 16 weeks.
Yeah, so I read an article this morning that I forwarded you from the Wall Street that talked about the Senate Majority Leader says he will aim to approve more funding this week. In this article, it mentioned that the Treasury Department is expected to request at least $200 billion more for this program on Tuesday. So that is, you know, what the news is reporting right now. Hopefully, additional funds will be contributed to this program, because I really do believe, based on the interest that we received, that the funds will be used.
And Cam, I'll add to that that there are additional resources outside of that 8 weeks for example, the SBA Economic Injury Disaster Loan Program. There can be, you know, funds borrowed through that program to help businesses for a longer term than just that 8 weeks. So I would encourage everybody to explore those alternative options, see if they feel like this one isn't going to be enough.
Let's talk about actually filling out the documentation and what that is requiring, because there are certainly businesses out there that are listening saying, this is important to me. What documents do I need? What information do I need? You've told me that they can gather information from 2019. What other types of information will a small business owner need to have on hand to fill out this paperwork correctly?
Sure. I'll take that, Cam. First of all, there's an application that needs to be completed. And in the application, it talks about documents and has a document checklist that is necessary to include in your package. And most of the documents that are required are related to payroll. And so if you're a company today that has not already applied, what I would ask you to start doing or start thinking about doing is putting together 2019 payroll costs and year-to-date payroll costs. You know, have a good number of employees at the end of 2019. You know, have payroll summary reports, W-2 summary reports, listing of employees earning more than $100,000 in compensation, 1099 summary, breakdown of payroll benefits. On the $100,000 compensation, one of the rules in the program is that for any employee that does earn more than $100,000, that amount is capped at 100 in the calculation of payroll expense.
So how many, Christian, documents do you think, in what you've listed there, I counted about six different unique pieces of information that are necessary to fill out this application. Is that correct?
Yeah, Cam, that's a tough question. I really think it depends on the type of business, the number of employees, and really the complexity of that business's payroll. I mean, I talked to someone this morning who is a sole proprietor, and she was asking me what documentation is necessary for her. And, you know, as a sole proprietor, all she really does when she reports to her CPA for tax purposes, all she really does is provide a P&L statement that she generates. And so that's the only thing that she would upload into our system and include in the application. But of course, you know, larger companies with more employees have more reports to include.
So let's assume that I'm one of the small business owners that we're talking about, and I can find this application, I assume, online somewhere, Small Business Association or Small Business Administration, rather, and I fill it out and I print it, let's say. How do the bank branches, how are they involved in this? This is very new to me, is the involvement of the local financial institutions. Tell me how that works.
Yeah, so if you do print out an application and have all of the documentation required, you can set up an appointment with a branch in town and deliver that application and documents to the branch, and the bank will process it. However, Cam, as we talked about earlier this week, it's our preference that people use our online portal. And there are a lot of other online portals from banks, other banks in town that people are using. We believe, you know, because of the process, that the online application is the most productive and efficient way to receive and process the application, which hopefully means it's the fastest way to get the funds. And so, you know, just like other banks in town, Regions has an online application through our Regions.com website that you can access.
So let's just say, will I get a notice of whether I've been approved for the loan or not? Or will I just see a deposit in my, let's say, checking account at some point?
Yeah, Cam, I'll take that. You will get a notice of approval, both from the bank and from SBA. You know, important in the speed of processing, kind of two things. We already talked about the documentation, having that in order, and then also just being already familiar with the bank that you're applying with. So those two things will make that process go really quickly. We anticipate a pretty quick turnaround on the application. And then once approved, you'll sign some documents before that money is deposited into your account.
I see. So there's another signatory process of being approved. You're going to have to sign, and I assume it's you're going to use this money for the right reasons, huh?
That's part of it. And then your typical promissory note that discloses the loan terms and that kind of thing. You know, if there were a portion of the loan that was not forgiven, which, you know, we could help you evaluate on the front end, then there are some repayment terms that would apply.
Yeah, and I learned that in filling out my own loan process that I said to my banker, listen, I want to make sure that everything I submit here comes out that I don't owe anything in the end. I don't want that. And they told me they were able to help me look over my documentation very clearly and get this thing right so that the amount I submitted for would mean that I didn't owe anything in the back end. Is that correct?
That's correct. No, that's an important evaluation to do up front. And SBA still has to issue some guidance on sort of the mechanics around the whole forgiveness piece, but the guidance on how to calculate how much will be forgiven is pretty clear. So that's something you can sit down and kind of put pen to paper and figure out.
And figure out the amount. If there is an amount owed, what is that? What is the interest rate? What are the terms? Tell me what that ordeal is.
The interest rate is only 1%, and it's a 2-year term. Keeping in mind that the first 6 months is deferred. So interest will accrue during that time, but there is no repayment during the first 6 months. So once you've applied for forgiveness and that portion of the loan has been forgiven, whatever the remaining principal balance is will be, you know, you'd repay over the next 18 months.
Okay, good. Now let's take a couple of, let's say, seemingly random occupations and see whether they apply. Let's assume I'm an Uber driver. And an Uber driver has certainly been impacted by this. Are they available to get something like this?
Absolutely. In fact, anybody who earns money and is considered self-employed or receives a 1099 is eligible. The SBA divided the application pool so that sole proprietors and other businesses could apply starting last Friday, and then those considered self-employed or who receive a 1099 can start applying this Friday.
That's excellent. I appreciate all the information. We're going to continue to gather the more information in the next segment here on the line. I've got Christian White and Megan Owens, both with Regions Bank. You're listening to What's Working, presented by Regions Bank. When we come back from the break, we'll still have Christian and Megan on the line. We're going to add Joe Collins, and I want to hear a little bit of what Regions is doing in the community to fight this situation. You're listening to What's Working. I'm Cam Marston. Listening to What's Working, I'm Cam Marston. What's Working is brought to you by Regions. On the line, I've still got Christian White and Megan Owens with Regions. I now also have Joe Collins. Joe is with ELM. They're kind of a payroll company. Joe, I'll get you to talk about what it is that you all do. But the significance is that you have 600 clients, and within your 600 clients, thousands of employees, meaning you're getting questions from left and right on this payroll protection stuff. Joe, welcome to What's Working. Thanks for your time. How about an introduction? Tell folks a little bit about what you do.
Sure. Good afternoon. We are what's called a professional employer organization and a PEO. And under that, we file and pay taxes for all our individual clients. And we also administer their benefits, do their HR programs, et cetera.
So with 600 clients and countless thousands of employees underneath that, tell me some of the most common questions you're getting where you don't feel like, and this is not a adversarial conversation, this is simply, where is the information still lacking in this program?
Well, the number one thing we're having a problem with is documentation. With us being a PEO, there's some uncertainty out there about what our clients have to provide to the banks and what the banks are accepting. For example, our clients don't really have 941s and 940 reports because it's all under our tax ID number. So we everything's filed under that, so that we're having to produce them payroll reports, and a lot of the banks are giving them kickback on that. So I would hope that could get cleared up a little bit.
What is the Are you frustrated with this, Joe, or are your clients frustrated with this, or are they saying, well, this, we're kind of making it up as we go along? What's their attitude when we can't get clarity on these items?
Well, most of them are understanding. I mean, they've been working with us a long time and going through this, so they're certainly respectful of the situation. And also the bank side, they're doing a program on the fly that's not normally something that goes on in the banking world, I understand. So, everybody's being pretty patient through this, but of course there's a lot of concern because they tell us the money's limited, and so people are in a hurry to get it done, and anything holding it up is a concern.
Sure. What other issues are out there that you're dealing with that don't have a clear destination yet?
Well, the number one question after a documentation I'm getting is, how soon after I get my loan do I have to hire my employees back? A lot of restaurants are dealing with that, especially because they're shut down right now, or mostly shut down. So what time frame, I get my loan on the 15th of April, do I have to hire employees back on the 16th, May 1st? What's the time frame on that and for the forgiveness part of this loan?
I have heard of some employers saying, well, I've got until blank date to bring my staff back if I get the loan, and I can keep them out till the very last day, because if there's nothing for them to do, I don't want them hanging around, and nor do they want to hang around. So that's a very real issue. Hey, Christian and Megan, do you have any comments or thoughts on that? Has there been any clarification in the new paperwork?
So there is a little bit of clarity needed about the specific days. In the Act, it says as long as they bring those employees back on by June 30th, that they're eligible for forgiveness. But when you think about how the proceeds have to be used, they need to start paying those employees over the 8 weeks. The calculation for the loan amount is based on that employee base, and 75% of it has to go towards salaries. So to take full advantage of the loan, they really should bring them back on as soon as possible. And that 8 weeks starts at the time the loan is funded, so they can plan appropriately to do that.
I see. The time the loan is funded. Listen, we got a text over just a moment ago. Here's the question. I'm an independent contractor who doesn't pay myself a wage. I do not have a separate business banking account. Do I qualify for the payroll protection program?
Yes, if you receive the 1099.
Yeah, easy enough. If you get a 1099, then you do. Hey, Joe, Megan replied with the beginning date. How would that go over with your clients?
Well, I know that everybody respects the paycheck protection part of this plan, and we understand that the loan is designed for that. But, of course, if you're a restaurant, you're not looking to hire employees back sooner than you need to. You know, first off, you have social distancing issues, so you can't bring them all back to the restaurant. They have things really have much for them to do at that point. So you're paying employees to sit at home, but required some employees to work. So that's obviously going to be a conflict for business owners. You know, they're not bringing any real revenue in at this point, so they had to bring people back and have, I mean, paying them for, you know, to do nothing. And that's a real concern for a lot of these restaurants especially.
Yeah, it sounds like restaurants are the ones that are leading the way with a lot of these odd questions or odd scenarios. Is there any other type of industry within your 600 clients, Joe, that are kind of struggling with exactly how to react to this?
Dentists are guys probably hit the earliest on this, and they're probably the last ones to come out of it because of what they do. They're definitely affected, and of course small businesses, you know, your retail shops and all that. But I'm hearing mostly from my biggest questions that come from the dentist or the restaurant. So that seems to be the number top two categories.
And when would be, Joe, I think I know the answer, too late to get this information? When is too late?
Do you mean for the loan application process?
Yeah,
or
I
have clients that are getting money now. They've already received some of their loans. And so they need to answer that question as soon as possible to get when do they start their employees back. And they're having to guess. And the problem with guessing is when it comes to forgiveness, it may work against you. And that's a problem.
Yeah, I understand. Christian, we did have a text just a moment ago. Christian and Megan, what is the bank's upside on this? You guys are taking on an extraordinary workload in this process. People working all hours of the day. Your web services are being crushed, I'm assuming, with an extraordinary surge. How are the banks getting compensated on this?
Yeah, so I'll start off by talking about why we're doing it. You know, it is a new program. We have spent a significant amount of time and energy putting this into place. There have been teams, particularly on the technology side, that have spent so many hours. I'm sure they worked all weekend. I'm sure there were people that spent the night at the office to stand this up. The reason, though, that we are doing it is because we know it's the right thing to do for our customers and the communities that we serve. We have so many small businesses that are being impacted by what's going on that we feel it is our duty and our obligation to do whatever we can to help our customers and the small businesses in the community.
So is there not
on the financial side, of course, as Megan talked earlier, there is interest due on the loans of 1%, and then the banks do receive a fee for servicing the loan, a fee paid by the SBA.
So there is not a per application fee that the banks are getting from the SBA for submitting these things?
Not per application. There is a fee associated with any loan that is funded.
Yeah. And it's ironic that you're working with people like me to make sure I don't owe any money at the end of this thing, and yet the only way you're going to get paid is if there is a loan owed at the end of this thing. Do I understand that correctly?
No, so during the first 6 months, during the first part of the loan, the interest will accrue at 1%. And so the bank would get paid on the first part of the loan. But again, this is more about doing what's right for the community and doing what's right for small businesses.
I want to use that as a launching pad into what Regions is doing locally, Christian, for at your branch level as well as other places to combat this situation.
Sure. Just like many other companies in town, you know, Cam, our top priority is the safety and well-being of customers and associates. We are taking extensive steps in response to this pandemic, including, you know, enhanced cleaning and clear guidance to associates related to social distancing and other measures recommended by the CDC. Now, I will say our teams here in Mobile and throughout our footprint are fully engaged and focused on meeting the needs of our customers during this challenging time. You know, all of our critical business operations are fully staffed and fully functional. And so we are very much still open for business. In the branches, we have changed our model, temporarily limiting it to drive-through options or in-office appointments, just to protect the health of customers and teams. And also, you know, we really encourage customers to take advantage of the bank's online and mobile banking options. From a customer assistance standpoint, Cam, you know, living on the Gulf Coast, we have lived through natural disasters and other market disruptions, and so I feel like Regions has a good plan in place when things like this happen to help customers. You asked me the other day if we had any new products or services that has come out of this, and I don't think we have any new products, but what we are doing from a customer assistance standpoint is providing loan payment deferrals or payment extensions with no late fees for credit cards. We are waiving fees for excessive withdrawals from savings and money market accounts, and then, you know, also providing penalty-free CD withdrawals. So we are doing, you know, as much as we can to help customers and associates through this difficult time.
Well, we appreciate it. I appreciate it. Your support of this program, as I said when we opened, is very appreciative. Supported of small business, and I think that's great. Is there anyone locally, Christian, that you feel needs a shout out for the work that they've done to facilitate all this?
So I'll start big and then go small. You know, I would like to thank every Regions associate in this market that is working hard to provide good service, good advice to their customers. We are hustling every day. We're partnering well. And I'm really proud, you know, of all the Regions associates in this market. And then the other group that I'd like to recognize is our SBA team, led by Megan here in town. We have, you know, dedicated resources and a lot of capabilities as it relates to the SBA business in general. But having this particular program, the PPP program, running through SBA has highlighted this team and all the folks within the SBA team.
Christian White and Megan Owens are both Regions here in town. Joe Collins with ELM. We'll see you after this break with This Is What's Working. I'm Cam Marston, presented by Regions. You're listening to What's Working. I'm Cam Marston. Let me tell you what's coming up tomorrow night on What's Working. We'll have Adam Chronister on the traditional old school What's Working with Cam Marston. He's the CEO of Pelican Point Advisors. He was working in a dental supply company. He made a 250-page Excel spreadsheet to advise dentists on how to become more profitable. That spreadsheet became its own product called Peladent. And now Peladent is being used by small businesses of all types. Adam is here in Mobile. Great story. Came up with his company name while fishing off of Pelican Point. All right, let's summarize the program for today. Here are the notes that I made real quick. The loan amount, there are different the periods of time you can choose. 12 months of 2019 is what they said. 1099 employers are not included in the PPP program. They're considering more funding, $200 billion more. So right now it's first come, first serve. You need to get your application in the hopes that more funding does come through. If it doesn't, you need to get that application in sooner than soon. It's first come, first serve. Let's see. What is this? Payroll docs. There's a list online of the different documentation you need. You'll find that at an SBA website. You can make an appointment at the branch to get this thing taken care of, but they prefer you use the online portals. The online portals will likely get you paid more quickly, assuming your loan is approved, and the bankers will help you with your application to make sure it's filled out accurately and that they set it up so that you don't owe anything at the end. The interest rate, 1% over 2 years. So with that, let's get into the final segment of the show, one of the ones that I really like. On the line with me, Dr. Mark Foley. He's a private consultant in town, former college administrator, head of school, head of the college. I forget the title, Mark. I apologize. I butchered that. But most importantly, a wonderful man and a great friend of mine. Mark, thank you for your time. Welcome to What's Working.
Hey, Cam, thanks for letting me be on the show. By the way, just a shout-out. It was the president of the University of Mobile. I want to tell my friends out there how proud I am of that university.
The president of the University of Mobile are the words that I couldn't come up with a moment ago. Mark, each show we try to end on an inspirational note. You send a wonderful, I call it a devotional, I'm not sure if that's the correct terminology, out daily that I've become quite fond of over these past several weeks. Give us some information, the message that you've prepared for the show, and then I'll ask you to tell people how to subscribe to that devotional.
Thanks, Kim. Yeah, this is it's called The Journey. It's basically a reflection that is part of a daily conversation that I get to have with God in my prayer time. And not the whole conversation. I don't want everybody to know too much about all my fears and complaints and anger and whining, but it's the summary of that conversation, and it has turned out to be a nice encouragement to a lot of people. Focused on leaders and people in business facing the kinds of things that you talk about on the show and how those men and women can be encouraged.
So do you have something prepared for us to think about this afternoon, Mark?
Yeah. Let me just bring something to you that from some time ago when I was walking in another challenging time, an expression that I'll put in the words of God. Many years ago, you asked if I would allow you to see with my eyes and to understand with my clarity. It is an awesome request and one that I'm granting. You will move further into those realizations, but you must let go of that upon which you have come to depend, the strength of your body, the historical frames of your thought, the money in your accounts, the habits of your life practice. These aren't bad things. I place them at your disposal. They will remain available to you, but they are all limited. Now I've introduced you to a choice about that upon which you will depend in order to experience your hope. Will it be these limited things, or will it be me? And that day I based those thoughts on Matthew 6:25. If you try to hang on to your life, Jesus said, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you'll save it. So I hope that's an encouragement to people today.
I think it will be. Mark, how can people subscribe to these? And incidentally, I've got this link in the text service that we offer, but tell them and I'll follow up with the text.
The link is website effectivesolutions.today. The daily devotional encouragement piece is on there. It's also on Facebook under Dr. Mark Foley. Those are the two simplest ways to find it, and I hope you will all join me in that journey each day.
You've seen the subscription rates jump up recently, Mark, per a previous conversation. Are they still high?
They remained high. I'm guessing a 50% increase in the number of people who are looking for encouragement on a daily basis and run across this. It's being reflected that strongly, and his hate stayed high.
Well, you're a man with a wonderful reputation, and a lot of us are quite fond of you. I appreciate you doing it, and I'm speaking for myself. I appreciate the messages that you're sending out each day. Folks, if you want a link to what Mark was just referring to, text What's Working to 44222. There are no apostrophes nor spaces in that. What's Working to 44222. Mark, thank you very much for your time today.
Thanks, Cam. Good to talk to you.
Let me tell you what we got coming up on Thursday, folks. I've got two guys that have taken their business from a face-to-face handshake business into a wonderful model for online business transactions. And they've done this due to the pressures of the environment and have had some great success with it. I'll have Jay Stubbs and Josh Null on the line with me on Thursday. Additionally, we're going to talk about the inspirational segment at the end of the show of the needs of the food bank and the messages that are being delivered out there in the needs of the food bank today, the calls and the requests and the spikes they've seen on their website over the past 3 weeks is going to really surprise you and make you realize that there are people. All of us feel like we have some needs, but there are people that have much greater needs than our own out there. So I want to finish up with how to get in touch with me, how to find us on social media. I am getting great ideas on show topics. I'm getting great ideas on inspirational people to finish off each show with. You can find us on Instagram at What's Working with Cam Marston. You can find us on Facebook. Search What's Working with Cam Marston. We're also on Twitter, What's Working Cam. I'm going to give you an email address, which is the quickest and most direct way to reach out to me, cam@whatsworking.com. And all of these shows are available online at my website. Go to cammarston.com. Across the top of the page, you'll see the podcast link. Click on that link. You'll see all the shows as well as the ways to subscribe to each of these shows out there. We continue to mine the marketplace for content and for people that can help us all out in this situation. I ask you to get involved, folks, and start by texting What's Working to 44222, where you'll get information from today's show as well as other things that I feel small business would be helpful to small business. You're listening to What's Working. I'm Cam Marston. What's Working is presented by Regions. I'll see you on Thursday.